line and couldn't come up with an answer. I wasn't sure. My wife said, it's blue. You just got to look closer. I don't know how to shoot in the 70s in a golf game. Amen. Don't worry, neither does Tommy. Amen. I don't know how to get out of the mud. I don't know how to get out of the sand. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I don't know how to make $1 million. I don't know how to do a lot of things, but I tell you what, I know how to get in touch with the Lord. This is right here. Jesus Christ is the only way that there's ever going to be. There is no other way. There's not going to be another way. By his words, he said, I am the way. I am the truth and I'm the life. And I told you something earlier up here, and I'll get to the message in just a minute. He said, I'm the way, and it's singular. Me not going to hell was a contributing factor to me surrendering to God. But it's not the only factor. I want him in my life. I want to be led by him, and I want to follow him. Why? Because if I'm going to spend eternity with him, I want to know what he's like before I get there. And that's just the truth. If you would, I want you to turn to the 11th chapter of John. We're going to read here in just a minute. There's a lot to go over this morning. I'm going to do my very, very best to give you what God has given me. And I want to tell you something, just briefly on a side note here. Children's church today, we're having a problem with the air conditioner and the heater out there. So if you got children, they're supposed to be going to children's church. We're just going to bring them on here. I believe that's the way we're going to do it because we can't have them out there in the cold. Can't have them in the cold. But the title of today's message is Restored by Jesus Christ. And he has that power. He can reach out and just with a word from his mouth or with a touch of his hand, he can restore you. He can restore me. And that's what he's done. Now, if you look in the 11th chapter of John as we get ready, I want to show what you see here is you see several things from Christ. You see Jesus through the speaking of his mouth absolutely delivers Lazarus from the grave. We see that. But not only do you see that, what we see is because of what he done, and other people seen it too, you see other people change just as well. Let me tell you, church, your life and the way that you live it does matter. Other people are watching you. They're watching you. And I'll tell you, it's important that we handle things the right way. And there's a good way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. And I think we can be clear on that. All right, so if you would, go to the 11th chapter of John. We're going to read out of the 20th verse this morning. We're going to read a few verses and then we're going to jump around a little bit. But in the 11th chapter of John, I think it's verse number 20, and it is. It says, then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Question mark. It is a question. 27, it said, she said, and she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now let's jump over to the 33rd verse. Let's scroll down a little bit. And it said, and when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have not caused even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou would believest, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where he was dead and laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hast heard me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. And they may believe that thou hast seen me or sent me. And when thus had been spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and with his face bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Let me tell you, church, there's people all over the world, maybe some people in the church today, what they need is for Jesus to loose them for whatever has got a hold to them. And I know what you're thinking in your mind. It's been this way in my life before. I cannot get over what's got me. We've all been there. We've all been there when there's something in my life that's big enough that I can't turn loose of it. And I think to myself, what am I going to do? How am I going to get beyond this? And you ever caught yourself complaining to God about it? God, why won't you do something? God, why won't you do something? And then when the right prayer meets God and you come down and you say, Lord, no matter what it is that you do, I'll be good with it. Just rescue me from this right here. You know, people need loose today. People need loose today. Now, I was telling you earlier, heaven and hell were on my mind when I was saved. But it wasn't the only thing that was on my mind. Because there was a day that I cried out for God to loose me as well. And when he did those things, I want to tell you the truth. I've never, ever been the same since that day. That's just the truth. And we look back and we say, Lord, how is it that I still struggle? I can numerous people. I'm going to have to take these glasses off. This thing's coming off my face. I'm going to do the best I can. Oh, there goes the glasses. Now I can't see. My vision's on a level like this. There's numerous people that we can think of in the building today that I can help name you right now that can give you a testimony of what Jesus Christ has done from them, what has saved them from. There's been numerous people that come in here on Celebrate Recovery, and they've got some kind of hurt, some kind of habit, some kind of hang-up. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's drug use. Maybe it's alcoholism. Maybe it's because they were treated badly as a child, or maybe it's because they treated someone badly. But they can tell you what Jesus did for them. They can tell you when Jesus come along and said, your prayer met me, and here I am. I'm going to fix it. And yes. Today, the same way. I'll start off like this. The altars at Hiram First Baptist, amen, they're always open. They're not mine. They're not the church's altar. Let me tell you, they're God's altars. Amen. They're God's altars. And if any moment somebody feels the Lord speaking or pulling at them, what we're supposed to do is obey and come down to him and say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. The reason I say all this is because there is reward in this life too. You know, Jesus Christ said, I'm the life, the truth, and the way. We know that, but look, I walk with him. People say, well, good for you, brother. Good for you, but I can't do that. I struggle too bad. I want to tell you, how many of you, just briefly raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to testify about this. I wouldn't want you to. How many of you had a little confrontation in traffic in the past 6 months? Let's be real. You know? Now, how many of them are proud about the way you acted? They ain't a hand in. I got one hand right over here. God bless you, brother. You don't get proud about the way that you, when you act, when you do things like that. But let me tell you, when I act badly and I know something's wrong in my life, what I'm crying out, I'm saying, God, loose me from this. Lord, I don't want to act like that. There's more people today that have had an incident on the side of the road that's not even a reflection of their personality, where somebody's killed or badly hurt or even both people killed because of the stress that's in somebody's life, and they pull over and they begin to fight, and somebody does something that they would never do. Something they would never do. I can think of times like that myself, and what I'm really saying is, God, I'm going to lose control right here if you don't do something. And the peace of God comes down and he says, just remember how they treated me. Just remember what they did to me. That's a life changer right there. Now look, Jesus is more than just a way to heaven. It is a way to get through this and be a testimony and be a light to people who don't know him. He's more than just that. Again, John 14:6, he said, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm the way. No man comes to the Father except by me. There's a ton of people in this world, I'm going to tell you the truth, they visit me about every 3 days at work saying, have you earned your way into heaven? Let me tell you, no. I haven't earned my way into heaven. I'm going to go into heaven because what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
You know what? This is just a side note, and I don't know how I'm going to get through all this. It just keeps coming. 1870, a man named Russell decided it was a good idea to enforce the 144,000, and if you were in that 144,000, you were going to go to heaven if you just earned it just right. Well, the problem with that is, in about 20 years, they done filled up 144,000, and Jesus ain't come back. And they said, what are we going to do with the rest of them? Let's create another place. 1931, another man come along named Rutherford. You know what he did? He said, oh, let's create. If you don't make the 144, you can be in heaven on earth. There's going to be another place. Can I tell you, that's a lie. That ain't true. The Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present from him. And there ain't nothing that I can do to earn it. The only thing I can do is say, Lord, loose me. I want to spend eternity with you. And that's the way that it's supposed to be. Now, look, we got troubles in this life, we know it, but he is the peace in my life troubles. The Bible says he's got peace that passeth all understanding. If you'll go back and you'll look at the 25th verse and the 26th verse in the scripture we just read, this is what Jesus is talking. He's talking to her. He said, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he shall live. You know, I don't have to wait till I die to see if I'm going to spend eternity with him. I can know right here on this side. I can know right here on this side. And I've even had, I got a friend of mine. I believe he's going through some of the toughest times he's ever been in his life right now. I was trying to minister to him one time. He's as lost as last year's Easter egg. He won't have anything to do with Jesus Christ. And I tried to tell him about Jesus, and this is what he said. I remember who you used to be. Don't tell me about Jesus. You know, that happens to us from time to time. But there's peace in this life trouble. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep praying. He's in a place right now where nobody's heard from him in 8 weeks. I pray that he's at a spot where God can reach him. Even if it's jail, where God can reach out and put his hand on him and minister to him, that he can find peace in life's troubles. You know, it's funny the way that it works, because this God knows, Jesus knows what you need and when you need it. More times in my life, I remember one time, and I'm going to tell on myself here, and y'all promise not to laugh. My wife and I were having a spat. You know, I'm sure I was wrong about something. And we were talking back and forth, and we were going, and I just knew I was right, and she just knew she was right. And it was peaceful, kind of. And we got to the point to where I'm sitting there, and I wanted to be right. I'm an only child, and she's an oldest child. So we're looking, and we just talking back and forth, and she said something, and then I said something, and then she said something, and it got heated, and then she said, you know what? She says, I'm right. This is the way it is. If you don't like it, take it up with him. You know what? Argument over. Just like that right there. It stopped just like that. Let me tell you why. God knew that if that argument went any farther, it was going to say things that hurt each other. But when you bring him into the situation, it's different. It's different. I can have the peace that I need. Now, let me tell you, if you remember the scripture we just read, remember when Jesus saw them hurting, he hurt too. He wept. He wept. Can I tell you, it's not any different today. If you're here today and you got trouble in your life and you hurt and you need help and you need him, can I tell you, he hurts too. And when you pray, he can hear you and he loves you and he wants to loose you and he wants to command that you'll be let go. But you got to bring it to him. You got to bring it to him and set it at his feet and say, Lord, help me. Let me tell you what else he knows. Amen. The Lord knows if you're lost. He does know. Can I tell you that's not his desire? Did you know he loves you anyway? He cares for you. He knows that you're lost. And he has not turned his back on you. And people say, well, I just don't know if God can save me. I've been dot, 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 dot. I've done dot, 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 dot. Everybody's done dot, dot, dot.
Yes.
God can reach out and use a man like Saul who became Paul. God can use you. I promise you, he wants to save you. He will save you, but you've got to want it too. You've got to want it too. If you look at the scripture and the way that the scripture reads, and you look at John chapter 6, verse 44, what's the Bible say? It says, no man can come to me except the Father which have sent me draw him, and I will raise him up. What is he saying? He said, you can't come to the Lord unless the Lord draws you. If you're here today and you're hearing the word of God and it speaks to your heart, let me fill you in. It's drawing you. If you can hear it, he's speaking to you. The problem that we've got today is there are so many enemies of God surrounding our youth that it's insane. It's surrounding you and I, and here's the truth. Most of us know better. We know the counterfeit when we see it. Satan offers nothing but a counterfeit, but the problem is, do they recognize it? Because if you will accept it in your life and I'll accept it in mine, they're going to accept it in theirs. But when you have the courage to say, I'm not going to do that. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to be away from that. They'll do the same thing. They'll do the same thing. I'm not going to go into too much detail about that because I'll chase a rabbit a mile on that. You cannot turn on the television without seeing some form of nastiness. But Jesus' words are trustworthy. I want you to look at verse 39 of the scripture we read. It said, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saying to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He'd been there for 4 days. Let me tell you what that really means. She cared. She knew Jesus had power. She did. She was glad to see him. But she didn't believe Lazarus was going to be alive on the other side of that rock. She said, he smells bad. Look, I smell bad without being dead. I smell bad without being dead. I got my own issues. But I tell you what, I might smell bad, but Jesus still commands life. Still commands life, and he said, roll that stone away. He knew that she doubted him, and when old Lazarus come forth, people think he walked out. He didn't walk out. Hands and feet together, and he's hopping, he's bound up. And the words of Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Don't hold, the grave does not hold you anymore. You know, you and I, we're going to die one day. Lazarus died again. He did die again. And when you and I die, I'm excited about it. People say, well, Brother Allen, don't you need more sleep? You got bags under your eyes. I say, I'm prematurely old. I tell them, I say, I'll sleep when I'm dead. I'll set the flesh down. I'm going to go spend eternity with him. Y'all can deal with the flesh. I'm gone. I don't want to be here no longer than God wants me to be here. But she didn't understand the power that come from Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, he's got that kind of power over you. But you got to want it. You got to want that kind of thing. Because nothing like the restoring power of Jesus Christ. One, if you look, they could all sense it. They seen him coming. They started to gather crowds. They knew something big was going to happen. Two, they could see it. When Jesus called him forth and he come out, everybody was able to witness and say, look what he did. And after that, it began to spread. Because Lazarus was raised, the Bible says, if you look in the 45th verse of the 11th chapter, it says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things that Jesus did, believed on him. I'm not ashamed of who I am. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to say that I'd rather be here than anywhere else this morning. I'm not ashamed to say that he's going to lead my life. I'm not ashamed that when I do something wrong that I feel conviction that comes from him. I'm not ashamed to say I'm going to raise my children in a godly household. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that I'm going to stand up here and tell you to the best of my ability what God has given me. I'm going to do that. And when I do that, if other people are affected, praise him, he done it. Praise him, he done it. Your life matters, other people see it, and they will follow you if you do it the right way. Now, moving on towards the end of this part of it. Everything Jesus did that's recorded in this book was for your good. You know, he took the cross. Why? He come to save that which was lost. That's you and I. He took the cross, and the reason he took the cross is because his love for me is bigger than I love myself. I'm a self-doubter. I am my own worst critic. I'm hard on myself. You know, you can do something good, and the first thing I'll do is I'll point out why something was bad. I'll play golf with Brother Jeff back there. I'll make a pretty good shot, and it'll be, you know, 20 foot away from the hole, and I'll say, man, I wish I'd have got that closer. He says, can you be pleased? Why can't you find some good in that? You know, that's the way I am. I'll get up here today, and I'll preach my heart out, and I'll do the very best that I can. And at the end of this, if I'm not careful, I'll find myself questioning what I said today. God, did I do it the right way? I'll go to work. I'll work all day long. I'll have a good day. When I get home, I'll remember something that I did that day, and I'll say, Lord, I think I did it wrong. Let me tell you, everything that Jesus Christ did for you is for your good. Stop doubting and just accept what he's done. It's the best part of life. I can go through this world and live for him and be okay with it. And it's okay to know that you're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. We know these things. Jesus commanded the grave clothes be removed from him. Now look. If you want a spiritual picture of this, Jesus commanded the grave clothes to be removed from us. That's the truth. But so many times, so many of us, standing wrapped in those grave clothes, and he comes along and said, remove them. You know what some of us say? You know what I've said? No thanks, Lord. I want to stay just like I am. I want to stay bound to the things of this world. Can I tell you that this world is strong? Amen. It's strong. There are things that people have put in their body that's got a hold onto them that they cannot turn loose of. There's things that people see on the internet that they cannot turn loose of. They got their grave clothes on. They hear Jesus speaking, but they will not let him take the grave clothes off. People say, well, I don't think I can get beyond it. You can't. You're right. But he can. You say, I don't know what to do. I'm suffering from depression. I know what you mean. I've been there myself. Jesus can take you out of anything. But you got to want that to be done. Loose him and let him go. Now this right here. This whole scripture is a picture of the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. That's what it does. What kind of God do you want? Do you want one that's just average? It says it'll be all right, but nothing changes? No. I want the power of the Lord to come along and change me. What I cannot do, and only he can do. Some of you in here today, we're going to move into a practical side of this. It says that you think that I'm too far gone for Jesus. I've done too much. I've said too much. Too many things in my life have happened. I cannot get back to him. We're not talking about the same Jesus Christ. We're talking about somebody else. Jesus has the power to do anything he wants to, and he wants to make you whole. He wants to make me whole. And it's not something that happens in just an instant. It can be a lifetime. Did he save me? Yes. Am I the same man today that I was when I was 17 years old and he saved me? No. Absolutely not. Have I made mistakes since then? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of you know them. Let's keep those quiet. You know, I do suffer from having a touch of a temper. God's helped me with that tremendously. You're never too far gone for Jesus. He can radically change you. If you want him to. Yeah, right. Now I can tell you this is, I've heard Brother Joe say this before, that God has the ability to reach down way farther than you can reach up. Amen. You know, people say, well, they can't get help till they reach rock bottom. Well, where is rock bottom? I know folks, and I've done it me. Get to the bottom, I'm still digging. Yeah. You know, old shovels bouncing off the asphalt, I'm still digging. You know what? When you turn and you look and you say, God, help me. He has the ability to get to where you're at. That's right. In any condition that you're in. Amen. You know, I believe it's Karen Peck that sings that song, 4 days late and still on time. Is that it? Yeah. Look at Lazarus. People say, he stinks. Don't open that up, Lord. They don't know who Jesus really was. Right. He told him, he said, move the rock and tell him to come on. You know what? They're doing this. Don't open it up, Lord. It'll smell. What they did was they opened it up and found the life that Jesus gives. We tell you, if you're here today, you're not in the grave. There's hope for you.
Amen.
There's hope for you. I tell the youth this all the time. You know what the number one reason is people won't get saved? I mean this. Because they're more concerned what the person to their left or their right think about them when they stand up and come down here. Let me tell you, if they're a Christian, they're going to rejoice. They're going to rejoice and say, God, I got another one. They're going to say, God, I got another one. Lord, help them. If they love you, they'll go with you. You get right down here and you can get right with God. You say, well, I'm just off track. I was saved 30 years ago. Good. Come get right with God. He can do those things. You're never too far gone for Jesus. And I want to tell you, God knew Alan Davis before Alan Davis was alive. He knew who I was going to be. He knew where I was going to go. He knew that in my mind I was going to say, I'm too far gone. Romans 5:8. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we are yet sinners, Jesus died for us. You know, he didn't take the cross saying, oh, perfect Alan, I got to save him. He said, oh, wretched Alan, I got to go get him. That's what he did. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of that. That's what he did. Remember, never too far gone. I'm going to tell you this. Mercy. God's rich in mercy. His plan is to save me and to be merciful to me. I know people today that look, they beat themselves to death over the things that they've done in this life and have never, ever had the desire to experience what God has done for them because they just cannot get over it, what they've done. Hey, God's rich in mercy. He's merciful to me. The redemption plan is what he had all along. When God knew that I was going to be who I was before I ever was that one. But he also knew that Jesus was going to take that cross right there. And he knew I was going to need it. And he knew that I was going to have to walk with him step by step by step by step because I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I told you I don't know everything. I can't figure out what black and blue is. But I know how to get to heaven.
That's right.
I know how to get to the Lord. I know how to make those things happen. I tell you what, if you've been saved and you've accepted the mercy that God offers, God bless you. You are blessed to know it and to walk with him and to love him. But let me tell you, not everybody's that way. Not everybody's that way. If you're not going to hell and you're happy about it, God bless you. God bless you. I'm glad that you know that. Let me tell you why, because you're never alone and you know that. That's things that he said. That's the way that he put it. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish but have everlasting life. If you know that, praise God. But not everybody else knows that. Not everybody else knows that. There's people around you today. There's people around you in the world. There's people around you when you go to work. There's people around you when you go to the gas station that they need the redeeming power of Jesus Christ, and he's not willing to just let them go and let them perish and go to hell. He wants them too, and sometimes the responsibility falls on us to stand by idly. You know, I'm sick and tired of having to accept the things we see on television when I'm trying to watch a football game. You know what I'm talking about. The subtle hints that are in all the commercials. It's okay to point that out to your children and say, son or daughter, well, that's wrong. And this is why it's wrong. Pick up the Word of God and show it to them. A lot of it you can find in the very first chapter of Romans. You just say, that ain't right. And that ain't the way that God wants us to live. You know, the redeeming plan of Jesus Christ can help them people too. They can help them. He can reach out and put his hand on them. Let me tell you, the redeeming power of God is saying this. God don't hold a grudge. Thank the Lord, because I'd have a long way to go. He don't hold a grudge. He don't say, yeah, Alan, I know you're different now, but you got a long way to go just to get over where you come from. In an instant, just like that. Clean in an instant, just like that. There is mercy waiting. Let me tell you, you don't have to earn it. We talked about if you need mercy, he's got it.
Amen.
But you're only going to get it from one place. I am the way that I am because God has intervened in my life. I want to tell you, you're not destined to fail. That's not the way the Lord works. God can rescue you and set you free. In the book of Psalms in the 86th chapter, this words were penned by the psalmist. Write these on your heart, good words to remember. It says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." It said all. It said everybody. Anybody can do that. Now, I want, just as a side note here, if you know what it's like to be forgiven, do you know it's your responsibility to forgive too? Man, have you ever held a grudge too long? Oh, I have. I have. Problem with that is, when the Lord says I'm supposed to be forgiving, He meant it. His words here, if you look in Luke 6:36, it says, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." You know, I know some of you have had close experience with this, people that may have taken advantage of you. Maybe they treated badly. Maybe they stole from you. Maybe they do those things. You know, and you're angry and you're upset and it bothers you. But if you can find it in your heart to forgive them, God will bless you for it. You know, what do we really want to see? We want to see God save them. We want to see God act in their life. Isn't it worth it? Isn't it worth it to find it that way? Because let me tell you why. One of our points here, because His love is limitless. There's no stopping Him. There's no stopping Him. There's no matter where you're at, He can get to. It's not a problem for Him. It's only a problem for you and I. You know how we, if you got kids, how children will try your patience? Children have tried my patience. Let me give you an example. This weekend, I quit playing, and this may come as a shock to you. I don't play video games very much, but my son wants me to play Call of Duty with him. All right? For a few years, I was able to hurt him pretty bad, but now he's gotten to the point to where I can't do nothing with him. He just runs through me like water through a screen door. I'm no good. He's very good. And he's gotten to the point now to where he's good, and he knows it, and he don't mind telling you, "Hey, Dad, I beat you." Let me tell you what that means. That means my patience wears thin. Because I run and I try to shoot him and I can't and he shoots me and I die anyway. Alana can't beat him either. She's done throw the remote. You know, everybody's there. Children try our patience. You know, over and over, one of your children come to you and say, "I need this advice, Dad, what do I do?" And you give them the advice and they go out and they do the exact opposite of what you said do. And you say, "Weren't you listening to me?" And they say, "Yeah, I just didn't like your idea." That'll try your patience. When I was a child, I know I tried my mother and father's patience. And my mother's here. I'm not going to look over there. But I do know this. If somebody said Alan, it was fine. But if they said Alan Shane, it was trouble. It was different. If my middle name come out, uh-oh. You did something wrong. Most likely you knew it. You can say, "Oh, well, I got to go figure out what it was." You knew what it was. She would say, "Alan Shane," and I was like, I got to go deal with this. But you find over time when you look back, in most cases, mom and dad were more merciful than they needed to be. Because the love for a child has no limit. Most parents would die for their child. They would. Let me tell you, that's the way God looks at you and me. He said, "I love them. They're my kids. I'll die for them." There's no limit. God said, "Whatever it is, I'm going to make a way for them." The sad part about that is, not everybody's going to accept that. Let me tell you, not everybody's going to go to heaven. They're not. But the ones that love Him, they will. They will. They're going to spend eternity with Him. Some say that if He knew the things that I struggle with, He'd never accept me. Let me tell you, He knows. He loves you anyway. He's patient. He's patient. Go back. I'm going to read Romans 5:8 again. said that God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's kind of like opening up a savings account while your child, for your child when they're on restriction. You know, you may be punishing because they need it, but you still love them. You're still giving them the things that they need. That's what God's done for you and I. The Lord does care about my well-being. He does care about your well-being. If we could ever just get a hold of how much God really loves us, we'd set the world on fire for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he can reach down farther than I can reach. You say, well, I'm embarrassed. He loves you anyway. You may say, well, I have regret. He has compassion. He can handle the worst situation you can imagine if you want him to. I'll tell you why. We're going to get ready to close here in just a minute. Because God's grace is enough.
Amen.
God's grace is enough to be able to reach down and calm the seas with just his hand out and a voice. He can calm the problems of your life. But you got to want him to. Why does the Lord love me like he does? You know why? Because he loves you. Because you're his child. And you say, well, sometimes I just can't love myself like he loves you. That's all right. We can deal with that. I want you to remember Paul for just a moment. Paul said this. Some of you remember this. He said, Lord, I got this thorn. I got this thorn. Now, he was speaking figuratively. He said, I got this trouble in my life, and I just can't get rid of it. He said, Jesus, get rid of it. Lord, take it away. I just want the thorn gone. But God didn't do that. He said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. He said, you're still going to have that thorn. He said, but I'm going to make a way. He said, I'm going to make a way that you're going to be able to deal with this as life goes on. He said, you're going to be able to deal with these problems. And then why did he say that? Because in the weakness of the flesh, in surrender to Jesus Christ, is strength. Paul went on to write 2/3 of the New Testament. There's strength that comes from the Lord, because his grace is enough. I want you to look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm going to give you a little picture of this right here. My dad and I, we like to tournament fish together, and it's fun. We don't win a whole bunch, but we sure do have a good time. You know, and we were fishing a couple of weeks ago, and we took off from the north end of Eufaula, and we went all the way to the dam. That's 35 miles, and it was 38 degrees. And when I got there, I went to stand up and say something, and my cheeks were so numb that I couldn't speak. And I sounded like I had peanut butter in my mouth. And we stood up, and we began to fish. And I threw a little bitty worm way up against the edge of the bank, and a fish bit it, and I reared back, and I set the hook, and it run off. And he said, is it a good fish? I said, no, it's just a baby. And it run around a little bit, and it got a little heavier, and it got a little heavier, and then it got real heavy, and my ear started to perk up. We went on a little bit farther, and he said, you got to have to get at the boat, son. I got to get a net on it. So finally I got up to the net, and I saw, listen, I know it's a big fish. Well, my dad, he won't say nothing. If he ever looks at me, that means, uh-oh, this is a good one. He put that fish in the net, and it curled up both sides. Both sides. It was the biggest fish caught in a two-day tournament. And I held him up. I screamed like a baby, laid down on the bed of the boat, hyperventilated, danced a little bit, yelled, hollered. He said, son, you're losing control. I said, yeah, but look at that fish. And he said, what do you think caught that fish? I said, I don't know, Dad. I said, maybe I'm just lucky. He said, well, son, I'd rather be lucky than good any day. What's he saying? What's he saying? I'd rather have the hand of God on me where I'm not good than I'd ever be willing to say I'm good. Because if I'm good, I'll fail. It's just a matter of time. You may say I got it all under control, but I remember when I don't. Let me tell you, warning, that's bad. You need to be able to say, I am who I am, and I've got where I've got because of the hand of Jesus.
Amen.
And if you can't say that today, there's time. The service ain't over yet. You got to give God credit where credit is due. There's no telling how far and how much you can do for the Lord when you don't care who gets the credit. That's just the truth. That's how God handled the struggles with Paul. He said, I'm not going to take it away. He said, but what I'll do is I'll bless you and I'll help you through it. This is what he said, saying it to us too. He said, my grace is sufficient. You know what he said? Here's how I'm going to deal with your troubles. I give you my son. He said, I'm going to give you Jesus. And he done that. And he made a way for you and I. Now, when we read this scripture, some people say, well, God just didn't care about old Paul. He's just going to let him deal with it. That's not what he meant. That's not what he meant at all. He said, I want you to get close. I want you to get close. And through this life, we're going to walk hand in hand, and we're going to get through it together. Because I'll tell you why. There's going to be a day, church, when each and every person in this congregation takes their last breath on this side, if it don't come back first. And when I meet Jesus Christ, I don't want it to be an unfamiliar voice. I want to recognize him. That's going to be the way it is for a lot of people in this world. I don't want him to be a stranger to me. If you know how much God loves you and you know that he's rich in mercy, again, you're blessed. But not everybody knows that. Maybe you're somewhere different today, or maybe you need to know the mercy that only Jesus can give. And as we get ready to close, I'm going to ask them to get ready with a song. I want to tell you this. Today, if you're struggling today, there's a way. God loves you. You need to be restored. These altars are always open. You can come right down here and God will put his hand on you and you can pray and you can cry out to him and he'll do what he says he's going to do. But you've got to want that. You've got to want Jesus to be over your life. The problem is we want Jesus in here for an hour and then we go out there and we want everything else. And then we come back in here and say, Lord, why didn't you do anything? Well, did you carry him out the door? There can be all kinds of problems in this world resolved, but you've got to want it.
That's right. Come on, brother.
Amen.
If you would, I'd like you to stand to your feet. We're going to close in just a moment. What a shame it would be. What a shame it would be to go through this life right here and know that God called me by my name and said, come on down, let's get it right. And to know that I rejected him over and over again. And stand in front of him and say, God, why didn't you help me? You know what he's going to say? I've given you everything that I could possibly give you, and you would not turn.
Come on.
I want you to know today that he loves you, and he cares, and you're not too far gone.
That's right. Exactly right.
If God's speaking to your heart today, and you want to do business with him, the time is now. Play the song.